This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Welcome to the final episode of the One Was Had a Dream podcast. This is the final one of the season. As ever, my name is Lee Finch. I will be joined by Danny Baker, and our guest this week is Thiago Costa. Some people might know him as Jaggy. So let me introduce Danny first. How are we, Danny? You well?
Lee, I'm absolutely marvellous. Can I just say, well done for getting us this far on the podcast. There's been many occasions where we've both thought, oh, wow, not again after Lincoln and after God knows the amount of games, but your enthusiasm and your constant, I don't even want to say the word, but professionalism in doing our pod. Thank you very much for the content that you've allowed me to contribute to, and hopefully everyone's enjoyed it, and I am looking forward to a bit of a break, as are you. Now, while we're here, Lee, summer break, what do you normally do? At what point do we get to missing football? How long does it take you before you think, okay, about, do you know what, I'm ready for football?
About a week.
Really? Is it a week? Where you're like,
the thing is, like, what you just said there, it's been a really tough season. Really tough. Yeah. Like, on and off the pitch. Like, this has been draining to do sometimes. I absolutely love it. I love what we do for people, like, and some of the comments we receive. But we have also received some negative comments this season, which is understandable, and which people ain't going to agree absolutely. With us both times. So I welcome it. But yeah, there's been some stuff that I don't agree with that I've been received from so-called friends. But we'll go on about that another time. But yeah, it's been a long season, but we all love football. It's like season tickets. I'll be getting season tickets. I am going to get a season ticket next year with the boy. We're going to get season tickets. He's buzzing to go to games and go to different grounds. And I'm looking at League Two table and thinking, oh, I'd like to go to Harrogate. I'd like to go to Salford. There's places, Barrow again, I want to go to. And I want to tick off some places I've not been in and get my up to the 92. But it's been a long season, but I do miss it pretty much straight away.
What do you do then over the summer? Because obviously I've got my cricket, I love my cricket, and it's all great. And all of a sudden the cricket season gets sort of nearish to the end, and all of a sudden the football starts. What do you do as a football fan? Do you do other stuff? Do you potter in the garden, Lee? Do you
I'll just be working, and pretty much that's it. And then all I do is just look for any rumours I hear and just spread fake rumours and put stuff out that.
What's the best fake rumour? Oh, no, mind you, you did a great fake rumour with your mate, didn't you?
Steve Adams, when we nearly made Steve Adams cry. Yeah, because we changed the whole Wikipedia of a Tottenham under-21 player and changed that he'd signed for Wimbledon and on loan, and we told him that he was signing. He told everyone it was gospel that he was signing for Wimbledon. And it was all made up. And then Steve said that I was dead to him.
The worst one I had, and it wasn't made up at all, but my mate is like a football, not to go too heavy on it, but a mate of mine's a bit of a football agent and he represents some people. Ooh. And there was a guy, I know, check me out. And there was a guy And I met him at a football match, some random non-league football match, and he basically said, Harry Kewell is definitely going to get, I think it was the Crawley job or some sort. No, it wasn't. It was Charlton. He went, Harry Kewell is definitely going to get the Charlton job. 100%. It's all sorted. No problem. It was at Crawley, I think, and blah, blah, blah. So I was said to all my mates, look, look, Harry Kewell's definitely going to Charlton. He's definitely going to Charlton. He starts next week. He never went to Charlton. Lee Bowyer did. And I got absolutely slaughtered by my mates because this guy was adamant. He was going, yeah, this guy met this guy, then this guy, he's going to start. It's no problem. Although he Crawley have got themselves in a spot of bother with Mr. Yems. I saw the thing today. It looks really lively.
The problem I got with that is I was tipping Yems for the manager's job after we got rid of Glenn Hodges.
Oh, wow.
Because I said he's a bit of a live wire straight talker. Do you know what I mean? He'll get the players going.
He's straight talking, I think.
Well, yeah, having a camp for white players and a camp for black players.
That's what I read today. That is rumors.
You know what I mean? It is only, we can't say that's 100%.
The rumor, yeah. But wow.
It was on TalkSport as well, so that's where I heard it from. But yeah, that's just,
it's gospel, is it?
That's just madness, isn't it? That in today's day and age that there is a racist football manager like that. But yeah,
that's them, terrifying. That's absolutely terrifying.
And I look forward to Crawley next year because again they want a rivalry with us. I don't really care about them, but it'd be quite good banter. But should we get our guest on and welcome?
Absolutely. Let's speak to the Jagman.
Yeah, Jaggy, how are we? How are you? California, yeah? He put himself on mute, which ain't gonna help us. So
okay. Oh, I thought Jaggy. I unmuted. I clicked on the unmute button, it didn't work. But yeah, how you guys doing? It's a pleasure to be here.
That's a shocking start from you there.
Where in the US, Jaggy?
Orange County. I don't know if the I want to see. Yeah, Orange County, yeah.
You didn't is that who went out there? There's a footballer went out there. Harry Forrester went out there.
Yeah, I think so.
And Trotter.
Trotter definitely went. Didn't Harry Forrester go? Yeah, I think Trotter might have done. And why Wimbledon, Jaggy? Come on, you're Orange County to Plough Lane. What's the story? Give us it.
Well, it all started when I got during FIFA 16. And yeah, way back in the day, I got FIFA 16. I played career mode. This was in 2018. I didn't get the next FIFA until FIFA 19. I played career mode because AFC Wimbledon were the lowest ranked team in the game. They were like a one-star, half-star, something like that. I knew of Akinfenwa.
We got now, though.
Yeah, I knew of Akinfenwa because of KSI. I used to watch KSI all the time. But then I started following them. Like, how are they doing? You know, I was a Man United fan back in the day, but I wanted to see how they were doing. They started off the season great. That was a great escape season. But then they just lost, I don't know how many games. And then the West Ham game, the FA Cup game that they played in the fourth round, I decided to watch that one because it was on the live stream website. It's not on iFollow. And so I'm like, I wonder how they'll do. And then they ended up just smashing it. I'm like, wow. I already knew about the story, like after I started following the club, but I didn't actually fully back them until that game. I'm like, you know what? I love this club.
So were you in America at the time?
Yeah, I've always been.
Is there a good understanding of the Wimbledon story? Are there lots of people who know about it, or is it quite a niche crowd?
No, it's pretty niche over here in the US. It's mainly just the big six clubs and like some Premier League clubs outside of the big six, like your Leicester Cities or a couple people like Everton, but it's mainly the top six. They don't really know too much about the Championship or League One. And like even before I knew about Wimbledon, I did follow a little bit of the Championship. I'm like, who's going to get promoted? I'm actually kind of interested to see that, but I've always been a football fan for life. But AFC Wimbledon is just something that just kind of came at me. Like I just played as them in FIFA career mode. It was just a story. It was just a destiny, you know? I was destined to be a AFC Wimbledon supporter.
Stars were in line.
It comes at you pretty fast and then you're really positive and up and then you turn into me.
Literally the transition. So your hair will fall out within a fortnight.
You'll be
first
bald,
relegation I've experienced.
Bald, fat beard and one of the most negative Wimbledon fans you'll ever meet. But
You're welcome, Jaggy. Very welcome, mate.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Should we talk about the game? We'll talk about relegation. Relegation's been confirmed. Yep. We are now going to be playing our football in League Two next season. The game against Accrington really, really angered me, pissed me off.
That first half was disgraceful, wasn't it?
That was probably the worst. For me, that's Mark Burren's now in the coffin that he ain't getting a job for me. I was
really.
You can't play like that at Crewe. Crewe was one of the worst performances I've seen. Right, fine. It's one of them performances you're up against a rival, but the game against Accrington that first half was shocking, absolutely shocking. Like well,
the thing that really bugged me, Lee, was the third goal, which was the header from Nottingham. I was standing behind the goal, and literally the corner before, for the people who weren't there, the corner before, he's run, he's had a free header, and Zanev's made a great save. And I've stood behind the goal, and you've got Hennigan and Nightingale on the six-yard box, and Dapo Mabude is marking Nottingham. And I was I never do this, but I was like screaming out, why is this guy marking this 6'4" defender? Anyway, free header goes in. I was apoplectic. I was absolutely going potty. I was like, what on earth is going on? We're professional footballers, and we've got a 20-year-old, 5'5", 5'6" striker marking this big defender. And I was like, if you wanted to understand why we got relegated, it was just complete incompetency. And the second half, we were better, and Radoni scored a nice goal and nice header, and it was all flirty, but just exactly the reason why we're relegated.
It was embarrassing, though, Dan. It was so embarrassing. Like, can you imagine if we had to win that game to stay up? We wouldn't have done it. There's no way we were beating Accrington. They looked like they were already safe, but they looked like they wanted it more. They just had more aggression, more anger. They just wanted to prove a point to Wimbledon, not probably to beat, because we beat them in the playoff semi-final. But when we got promoted,
Jackie,
but,
did you go?
What was that?
Did you go to the Accrington game?
The last game I went to was the home game against Lincoln. I ended up leaving, going back to the US March 15th. So I continued doing my live streams and whatnot after that. But
okay. Did you see anything about in the Accrington? See the highlights or anything?
I actually didn't see that. That was like one of the couple games I didn't actually see live. I did see the highlights though, and obviously you don't have too big of a picture on the highlights. But from the highlights, it just looked, obviously we were sitting back, the Mark Bowen style, but we just didn't get stuck into tackles when we needed to. And we just kind of invited a lot of pressure. And of course, you mentioned the marking in the corner kick. I feel like every now and again throughout the season, we've had that. Like, I went to the Wigan game away, and Yuba Sal was marking Humphreys on one of the corners. I'm like, why is he marking him? And
I mean, the argument, obviously, of a lot of people would say is that they probably were doing some sort of zonal marking and attacking, but it was just so pathetic. And obviously, it just seemed to be I'm happy with Bowen and happy not. I think it's unfair to judge a manager with such a poor base group with such little confidence. But what was good, what was interesting is Radoni showed in the second half, he ran his socks off in the second half, he showed that he is a potential championship player. I wouldn't say he's a championship starter, but I think I think Coventry, QPR, maybe QPR loaned out to someone else, to Portsmouth, maybe. I think he's definitely going to go.
I agree that.
I think he'd be a good championship player. I thought the goal with his feet was excellent. But just, for me, if I had to sum it up in a sentence, it just seemed to be, you know, men versus boys, really. They were bigger, stronger, wanted it more, and they were on the beach, and we just didn't seem interested.
What annoyed me about it as well is I watched the game, and the people clapping the players at the end. I got a bit of stick to this, saying, look, they were clapping like the effort of the seat. Like, them players are an absolute disgrace this season. I saw people asking Mbudi for photos, and I just thought, I get kids want, but if that was my son, like he's 13, I've got a 6-year-old. If they were asking Mbudi for, I wouldn't be taking them again. I'd say you're banned. They'd be putting bans from me, not the club, because asking these players, and like they done, I saw the end of season awards were done as well outside in the bar and everything. And do you know what I mean? It's, how can you be clapping?
I mean, you've got to, though. From a club perspective, you've got to do it.
No, you don't have to do it when it's been so poor.
I found it really difficult to kind of to clap off, because I don't feel really, for the last 8 to 10 games, that we have truly and utterly given it enough effort, really. To once we've been in the relegation threatened, I don't think I've seen enough of us to warrant being really, really up for it. Fair enough to those. I actually saw a lot of angry people at the front of the behind the goal, right at the front. There seems to be a lot of anger, which again I totally get. It will just be interesting to see moving forward. We're a club that's obviously hurting and weeping. This isn't the end of us, absolutely not. And it's an opportunity to go again at a different level, which is probably our level. We'll see.
Jackie, you're totally good, because I saw one of your videos when you was at Wigan, and there was some anger at that game to some of our players, and you were like literally trying to calm people down and say to them, look, wait, let's get behind the team. Like, I just think the players are earning good wage. We should be able to tell them that they've been useless all season, but you're a positive Wimbledon fan, as to speak.
It definitely, the perspective from my end changed a little bit after that game, but I was still, you know, there were still a lot of games to go. And I had said that it's not necessarily all the players' fault. I didn't want to necessarily say that it was all Robbo's fault either. But yeah. I just thought that, yeah, I will say that the Wigan game, we didn't really show too much conviction that final third. Like we looked kind of scared when we were in the final third. We didn't create too much. But at the same time, I thought, you know what? There's still a lot of games left. There's still a lot of real estate. We need to get behind the players right now. Now is not the time. I understand the fans that, you know, come through every game and they pay, you know, an arm and a leg to go to those games and they want to see results. But it was at that stage, it was like, okay, you know, there's a lot of stuff behind the scenes. Mark Robinson, his tactics were kind of weird. He took a Sal off or took somebody off for Chuka. And, you know, the transfers throughout the season were kind of poor. But then as the season started to progress, I also noticed that the players weren't giving their all. And it just like, even the Cambridge game where the, you know, set pieces were poor, we didn't create enough chances, we didn't have enough effort. And when Mark Bowen came along, we had one or two good games and then we fell out. You know, a lot of the mental fortitude, mental aspect of things was falling apart. So I did start to transition a little bit. But at that point of the season, I was like, you know what, there's still a lot of games left. Let's get behind the players. Let's not get them stick yet.
Jaggy, quick question for you then. Over the course of the season, I don't know if this is cutting over what Lee was thinking. Where do you feel that, where are you pointing towards as to if you had to kind of come up, if you were an external person coming up with a solution to the problem or identifying where we've gone wrong, can you put your finger on what it is?
Or where we've gone, yes. Yes. I think it's two big factors. I mean, we have some other smaller factors like lack of finishing, you know, our goals being dry because of poor transfers, but actually the two biggest keys were one, poor transfers and loan signings, which led to our poor goal tallies and lack of finishing. And number two is the mental aspect of things due to the fact that we focused a little bit too heavily on youth development. And it really showed with the Wigan away game, lack of confidence and chance creation. Doncaster at home, we were up 2-0 and we just capitulated in the back. Cheltenham away, too many balls over the top. And even the Cheltenham at home game, too many balls over the top. And it's just those two factors, poor mental fortitude and poor transfer and loan signings.
Okay, interesting. Lee?
See, for me, this relegation, people keep going, oh, we've been relegated. People need to get over it. It happens, which is fine. I can take relegation and I'm looking at League Two and I'm getting excited for next season, which is what most football fans will do. Most football fans will now get over it, take up weeks and then be buzzing to get back once we sign a new manager. It depends on the new manager and who we're signing and who we're getting rid of, which we'll talk about later in the episode. But for me, the relegation could have been avoided and I think it's easily avoided this year. This is probably one of the weakest League Ones I've ever seen. I've got the league table in front of me. Fleetwood stayed up on 40 points.
I doubt anyone else has stayed up on 40. I'd be very surprised.
40 points this season. 41 points and you're safe, right? How many games? This could be totally wrong because I haven't got it in front of me. I think it's about 38 points that we've dropped from winning positions, right? Going 1-0 up as well, I think we've dropped a hell of a lot of points as well. It could have been avoided. I think if the board sack Robbo earlier, I think we were too nice with regards to keeping Robbo in charge. We made that stupid statement that we were going to back him and stuff like that, and then we sack him not long after. We gave Bowen no chance. Danny, what you said earlier, regards to Bowen, I if he got the manager's job, him and Eddie were managers, and I'd still be happy and I'd back him. Yeah. I just think at the moment he hasn't done the best job interview that he could have done. He didn't win a game at the end of the day. But yeah, to go down with... We ended up finishing second bottom in the end. We haven't won in how many games? 28? I am excited for League Two. I am going to be positive about League Two, but it does depend, as I said later in the episode, we'll discuss it, who our next manager is going to be, what players we get rid of, and what players we've got. Because there's something regards to one of the players and his contract that just blows my mind that we've done it. But we'll talk about that later. Dan, where do you think it lies?
Well, I'm just going through quickly the League One tables. And I've gone back to 2014-15, and the lowest number I've seen, fourth from bottom, is 46 points. Lowest 46 points. And I'm sure when we go back and through, I'm tending to lean towards Jaggy, to be honest with you. The recruitment has been absolutely pants. And yep. I think there's I don't think there's many people out there who say it wouldn't be. I think the mentality thing does come with experience, but also the thing that annoys me the most is that we all of the I think in many ways you've had a bit of propaganda. We've been sold down the river a little bit, I feel. And I feel
I fell for that.
Propaganda. I feel like we had this whole, right, do you know what? We're going to do these psychological profilings of these amazing players and it's all wonderful. And if whatever the profiling tool they're using isn't working, because if it does work, you don't sign Cosgrove, you don't sign Mabuda, you don't sign these boys. What we've clearly done for me is we've spun the wheel, we've decided, and again, I've got no drama at all with the way that trying to do something different, because we can't keep doing the same thing and expect to be in League One. We've tried, but we've just gone totally one way or the other. And I just feel that Palmer, who obviously was in charge, I think he's basically looked at it from a business rather than an actual football thing. And that I feel ultimately that is the one thing that has killed us. Yes, you could say Robbo could have gone earlier. I'll give you that. Yes, you could say that the football club as a whole, concentrating on the community a bit more, I don't buy that. The whole Steve Salas thing and the substitutes coach and the restarts and all this nonsense. Just get your football sorted. Just get your back line sorted. Just get your front line sorted. Don't worry about your subs. Don't worry about, is everybody all right? Fill out a questionnaire because I want to work on your elite mindset. Well, where is it? You've lost 28 games. We haven't won in 28 games. Where is it? So there's loads, but I can't argue with Jaggy. Experience and poor recruitment. And poor, again, like I said, ridiculous decision making, selling your best goal scorer and not replacing him. I mean, what do you expect? And we didn't even replace
him. It was the long term outlook. That didn't work out.
From the year before, it's ridiculous.
Before we move on to the manager and who do we want and what talking about the manager and the panel and stuff like that, I agree with both what you said there. And I think it's the arrogance that has done me this season, the arrogance of that we're going to reinvent football. That we, like, the substitutes coach was a kid studying at uni. Do you know what I mean? It was like, we're bringing this kid from... I didn't even know that until he left and he wrote a piece on Instagram. The Steve Salas stuff. Steve Salas was this mindset coach that was the best mindset coach. And I just found him so arrogant in some of the posts that he wrote, like managers getting sacked when he sent them messages. It's like, well, the one that you was working with got sacked.
He's got sacked. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, well done, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You're not the best thing since sliced bread. There's everything we've done. We try to reinvent the wheel kind of thing. And then people are still now wanting us to keep this same process and not rip it up now, where I think we just rip it up. Whoever comes in next has to, I kind of get it. We have to go with some kind, we can't keep ripping it up, but it wasn't working. It didn't work. It was absolutely, if you look back at it now, it's absolutely ludicrous that we went with some of the things that we did. Some of this, we're going to sit down and interview these players. And if they're right and they do a bit of charity work, they are some of the worst footballers I have ever seen in Wimbledon shirts, and I hope I never see them at Plough Lane again. Go on, Jackie, last point before we move on.
Yeah, I think that it's going to the process is going to trickle over a little bit, though, because we never spent a single dime of that $300,000 that we got from the sale of Palmer, right? And that was
I think we've used a decent amount, or we've used some of it on Cosgrove's loan wage. Unfortunately, I think that's where some of that money has gone. But in principle, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Unless it's gone into taking off the loan. In that case, we'll never see it. So that's the mystery. Where is this money? Is it who's communicated and said, right, we've sold that money for Palmer, that's fantastic. Half of it's going to go into the club and half of it's going to go in the loan. We would then know, but we don't. So it's kind of a bit weird. Anyway,
what do you mean we don't know? We're a fans club. We know everything. Oh, no, we don't. Right, let's move on. And when we come back, we'll discuss the management team, the rumours that we're hearing, the management we want, and this the panel, and we'll discuss everything in regards to the management.
The Wombles had a dream podcast by the fans, for the fans.
So we're back and we're going to be discussing the vacancy at Wimbledon, which is the management. Is it just the head manager or we got assistant manager up for grabs? I know Rob Tuvey is still there. And,
No idea. Absolutely no idea.
Obviously, our greatest signing of this season, Darius Charles, the best coach since sliced bread, is still there. Absolutely stealing of living, being at our club at the moment. I love Darius for what he did before, but don't get away, still there. But we're talking about management. I'm hearing lots of rumours. I know there was a piece went out yesterday from Mike regarding the process at the moment. For me, it's dragging on a little bit. I know we're interviewing managers, or we're going to be interviewing people. Some of them are still in, currently playing, apparently. That's
really?
What they said. Well, that's what they said on the thing. I've heard rumours that it could be, what's his name? The geezer that was with us before, the Blackburn guy. It's just gone out of my head.
The Blackburn guy?
Yeah, he used to play Blackburn. He came on, what's his name?
Andy Frampton.
No, Reed. Stephen Reed.
Oh, Stephen Reed. He's at Forest, isn't he?
Forest. He's Forest assistant manager or first team coach. So he could be coming in as manager with either Jason Yule and Simon Bassey as the assistant.
Right.
Which I'd take.
Okay.
I've heard rumours that the Sutton manager could be interested.
Andy he's still, Gray.
He's
Matt
still
Gray. Matt Gray.
Matt Gray. He's still, his season's still going. Luke Garrard's just signed a new 3-year contract at Bournemouth.
Right, so he'll
so
be.
So I think that rules him out now. What are you looking for in a manager now, boy? What are we looking for? Are we looking for a Bowen type manager? Like Bowen's still in the running, I'm guessing. Are we looking for a Bowen type with some Robbo traits? Or what are we looking for now in a manager?
Go on, Jaggy.
I'll leave it to you, Danny, first. I'm still thinking about this, actually.
Okay, it's I don't want anyone to do with Wimbledon. I want a clear slate. I don't want to go back to. Let's go through a whole trawl of people who used to play for Wimbledon. I think we need to get away from the sort of the family aspect of it from a football perspective. We've done that with Ardley. We've done it with Hodges. We did it with Downs. We're constantly Robinson. We've kind of looked at the Wimbledon. I would like, bearing in mind, we've not gone away from Wimbledon since we've been in League One. I would like to have somebody a bit newer. To us, I've got no problem at all with someone like Stephen Reed. I thought would be a really good signing. I'd like us to either go with a decent pro who's recently retired to give them their first opportunity in management to see if they can incorporate some of their methods, or I just want somebody who's well connected. So Bowen fits my model quite nicely in terms of the connections. We're never going to get a John Terry type, absolutely not. But somebody who has played Premier League football, who's got lots of connections, who's looking to do his badges, somebody like that, a Stephen Reed type, I think would be my first port. My first port of call would be a youngish manager, very well connected, played at a good level, and is ready to have the opportunity to be a first team manager. So he would have been up there. Campbell, Sol Campbell type person.
No.
But not Sol Campbell.
Yeah.
We don't want Sol Campbell.
Jesus.
But somebody who has been around the traps, who's done a bit. I'm trying to, if I can think of, like a Kieran Dyer type.
No.
Who's been coaching, has done a bit.
No.
Who's been around, that kind of right. level of person I'm looking for.
I'll cut you off because you're saying too much nonsense on names now. So I'll bring Jaggy in. Some of the names you shout out there are ridiculous.
So, Stephen Reed, assistant manager for Nottingham Forest. Nottingham Forest have just come up. Obviously, they lost against Bournemouth, but they've done a really good job. I mean, FA Cup run. I'm sure Stephen Reed has had a say in the matter. I would also have him in the top of my list. Going back to the thing that Danny said about wanting to go away from the Wimbledon way sort of thing, I feel like part of the reason why we were so focused on family, not only because we're a fan-owned club, but because we actually were still on the road back to Plough Lane, we still wanted to get back our true identity. And now that we've gotten that, I think now, especially since football, I've said this in like the latter half of my live streams on YouTube, football is a business game. It's a results game after all. And once we start to shy away from that fan, I mean, I still would rather be fan owned. I know you guys talked about that a few times in the past. Like I would still rather be 51% fan owned German model. But it's still a business game after all, right? And I do want to get a manager that's someone that's not necessarily in the Wimbledon, Wimbledon zone. I want to get someone that could really help us in a business standpoint. I think Reed would be good. I think Bowen is also, I think, would be decent. I also thought if Everton get relegated, do you think Lampard would stay?
Jackie, that is a right. I thought Danny was off with some of his. Name.
Okay,
we're not getting Frank Lampard in a million years. If
okay,
goes
okay, fair enough.
My thing is, I think with regards to what you two both said regarding the Wimbledon way, I kind of agree with that. I don't want anyone attached to Wimbledon or been attached to Wimbledon previously, but I think we're actually a better prospect now than we were in the past. We had to deal like we had names like Slade. That, do you know what I mean? When Wally came in, there were some awful names being branded about that wanted the job.
Keith Hill, I remember his name.
Do you know what I mean? I think now, if you look, we've got Plough Lane, decent ground. We should be having, what the board said, a decent League Two budget. So someone's coming in with an okay budget. Should be top six, top eight budget in League Two, which ain't a bad budget for Wimbledon. Decent ground. Half the squad, we'll go on the squad later, who we'd like to keep them go and stuff. But I want someone connected. Someone's going to bring in decent loans again, because the loan system this season was an absolute joke. Didn't work at all.
You've slagged me off. I'll add Kevin Nolan to the mix. I think he'd be all right.
No chance, Kevin. You're saying some awful.
You're giving us
now. I'd be happy with Stephen Reid with Jason Yule as assistant, and then DRF as Simon Bassey.
Okay.
I think we definitely need to look at getting Simon Bassey back in as a director of football, because if you look at, people say it all the time, and I think we totally disrespected Simon Bassey, and I'll put myself in that as well. I said when he went, I thought he didn't really, what was he really doing? Was he bringing that much to the table? But you speak to any player, we spoke to Anthony Wordsworth last week, they cannot speak highly enough of Bassey and his football knowledge, right? You speak to like Andrew Harding and people like that, who are good business people and know what they're doing. They speak so highly of Simon Bassey.
But is he going to want to leave Portsmouth?
A first team manager, and he comes in as a director of football at Wimbledon, where he lives. He's local. He's been there 10 years.
Director of football and bloody.
I think he will, mate. Or assistant manager. What about if he comes in as assistant manager at Wimbledon, not a first team coach, assistant manager? I think his knowledge of football is what we missed this season with some of our signings. You look at signings before that he's made, they've always been. We got one or two that were awful, but most of the time we were getting 75% of our signings were decent, Dan. He found Lyle Taylor. He found Ramsdale.
Stephen Reid's not available.
What about Michael Appleton? Another name, Michael Appleton. I think we're miles away from you don't think we'll get him?
I don't. He's just done nothing everywhere.
I'd like to see what the betting opens up at. There's no betting at the moment, which is really annoying.
Would you take Neil Harris, Lee?
He's at Gillingham. Why is he leaving Gillingham when he's got a project there at the moment?
Well, he hasn't got a project because all of his players are buggered off and he's...
No, but did you see his interview? You see his interview the other day? That's what I want to see from manager.
Okay, would you take someone like him?
Of course I would, but he ain't going. So why even mention his name?
Asking that kind of person.
That's kind of person, 100%. This is where I think we got to get away from. Right? Wimbledon fans want attractive football, like Bowen. Some people don't like Bowen. As I said, he ain't won a game. He ain't pulling up trees at the moment. So that's why if he didn't get the job, I wouldn't be too disappointed. But if he did get the job, I'd back him. But there's some people that don't like Bowen because he plays very negative football. He likes to defend five defenders and then we hit him on counter-attack and score goals that way. But he has picked up the worst team I think Wimbledon have ever had. And I don't care what the football is. I really don't care. Most away games, I'm absolutely blattered anyway, so I don't care what I'm watching. I just want to win games of football. We haven't won in 28. I just want to see us score a goal and win a game and celebrate. And I just want a manager who's going to have a bit of passion and not let these players mug us off anymore.
This is the question I have for Jaggy, actually. Jaggy, what would you go with? Would you rather us be more successful points-wise, but be less... youth players, we're kind of not going to have as many, not going to promote as many of our own? Or would you rather be a season of transition, but more younger players getting minutes on the pitch and giving them that extra experience? Which are the points more important next year than the youngsters getting into the squad, or vice versa?
You put me on the spot for sure. I think generally speaking, I did say that football is a results game after all. I think next season with the budget that we have, I think, you know, it wouldn't be criminal not to get promoted right away the season afterwards. I think we're still in kind of a transitional phase where we still have a little bit of debt to go. Right.
Yeah.
I think we focus a little bit less on youth than we have this season, but I don't think we go all out and just get a bunch of experience. I think it's right in the middle. I think that you find that healthy balance and then we try to get promoted maybe in two or three seasons. That's just how I see it, though.
My feeling is if the youth's good enough, then they play. If they're not good enough, like this season, then they don't play. Do you know what I mean? We've got to get away from saying we have to have youth in the team. When if they're good enough, fine. If Alfie Bendall becomes this brilliant player that we're all expecting, and he looked good on Saturday, then brilliant. He can start playing games. But if he doesn't make it, then he has to go out on loan.
They're going to need experience, aren't they? I mean,
yeah, but that's why 100%. You send him on loan. I think Alfie
Zach
needs...
Robinson, as an example, went
he's
away.
Off. Zach Robinson's gone. We'll talk about that later. Zach Robinson's gone. He's leaving.
So okay. Let's.
Talking about Alfie Bendall.
What I mean is, a Zach Robinson-type player who did okay at conference level, was in League 2, was obviously, League 1 was out of his depth. Zach Robinson, technically, at the moment, is probably a conference player. Do you go, no, do you know what? We're going to give him the year in the squad. He's not good enough yet. Same with Cosgrave. Same as probably a couple of others. Do you say, do you know what? We think that you're going to be good enough in 2 years. You're going to be around the squad. Or do you go, no, I'm sorry. We're going to pick the best 4 strikers and you're not there yet. So we'll see you later.
No, sorry, Jake. One sec. No, we can't do that. We have to play the best players that we have, and we have to get the best players that we can have in that team. And if they're not good enough, they need to go out on loan and be, get proper. Like Alfie Bender was at Corinthian Casuals, which is what Ryman Prem Conference. Yeah, he needs now maybe go to a conference team and do it at like a tough league where he's doing it every week in, week out. Then we can go. Yeah, he's ready.
Are you expecting Lee next year us to go back into League One?
The League Two, the way League Two is, that you get 4 can come out of that, 3 automatic. Correct. And 1
out of playoffs. Top 7.
I'd expect us to be there or thereabouts.
What, automatic or playoffs?
Around, I'm saying around the playoffs.
Okay.
But I don't see why not. If you look at that league now, Northampton.
No, I'm not arguing with you.
And Northampton have got people like Connolly and people like Pinnock playing for them.
Well, Connolly's gone to Morecambe.
But yeah, sorry. No, he was at Northampton, wasn't he?
He was, but he went to Morecambe, yeah.
But yeah, I expect that. But yeah, Jaggy, how do you...
I think League... I've heard you guys talk about how League 2 is just an absolute shark tank when it comes to like people that are physically imposing, defenders. You know, the style of football is just completely different from League 1. It's a lot of kickball, a lot of nitty-gritty. Yeah. I think that could also... benefit those the people with opinions that youth are not going to work as well. I think we need some players that are a little bit more experienced, that are willing to get stuck in a challenge, like maybe not revert all the way back to the original Wimbledon way, but I think we need a couple of players that will really get stuck in. And
yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. I think a lot of League Two as well, I think it's quite hard to win playing good football, because ultimately, as you'll notice, Jaggy, next year the pitches go down quite quickly in quality, and the way that the game is played is just there's not enough skill. There's a lot more. You basically get a lot more physical specimens, quick guys, strong guys, physical guys who'll use that over, or players on the way coming down. So you get lots of decent players who hang around, and I feel like League One was probably a good league to play some nice football and do okay. I'm not sure how easy it is to do that in League Two. Jay, Lee.
So I have a question I had for you regarding the management. Is the managing the panel? We're going to be putting a panel together to interview players and stuff like that. How important is it that we know who's on that panel? Because I've seen quite a thing saying, well, obviously we're a fans club, but why can't we? I get that the there's going to be a football expert, which I believe I know that is.
Is that you, Lee?
No. But I've also heard the rumour, right? And we've admitted that this year's transfer committee has been horrendous. Our transfers have been awful. I have heard the rumor that Will Daniels is on that management panel, and so is Ivor Heller. Again, this is just rumor. This could be absolute bull. And this is just, you know what it's like. The names start coming out.
Yeah.
If them two are on the management committee, then you might as well get Richard Andrew on it, because it's, do you know what I mean? There's, why are they on there when we need people who actually know what they're doing? Like, I get the football man's going to be on there. It's, do you know what I mean? Who goes on that football panel, the management panel? Because we don't have enough football knowledge at the club. And how is it important that we know who is actually picking our next manager?
Well, I don't understand how difficult it is. You just get all the applicants and look for them and go, right, what do we want in our manager? We're looking for the following couple of traits, and then pick them. You get your bottom, you get your next 5 from that, surely. You go, I don't want an old battle. Also, Slade gone, Hill gone. I don't want any kids. You're going to go. I want somebody who's got a proven track record of success in League Two. You're in that pile. And all of a sudden, you start cutting it down, surely.
Yeah, but Dan, I get that. But we've got a Don Struss board, a PLC board. We've got a football committee. Which one? Who? And we've got 4 people on the Don Struss board on the PLC board. So who picks the manager for next? Like, it could just, and we've also now got 10 people on the Don Struss board. 10. Right. So we could go 5 people go, right, I want him because he's he likes... what's it called? He likes vegan food. Do you know what I mean? He likes community football. He likes all the projects that we're doing at the moment. And the other 5 go, well, I don't care about that shit. I just care about football and winning games. And then we go, right, total stalemate.
The Don's Trust cannot pick the manager. The Don's Trust's job
but
is
who that, the PLC board then?
Yeah. So who right. The Don's Trust's job is to pick the best people possible to work for the club, and it's their responsibility to pick the manager. The Don's Trust need to. Their job is to pick the best football people to run the football side, and it's the football side's job is to pick the manager.
And this is why I worry about next season that we go down again. I'm trying to be so positive about next season, but we go down again because the people on the PLC board just don't have the football knowledge that they need to be running a football club.
Well, there we are. That is a massive concern. And unfortunately, I mean, where do we sit, Jags? Do you think we need to, as a club, go, right, let's get the manager and get all that bit sorted out, and then we'll, which way round do we go? Do we go manager in, whoever's in charge now, pick a manager, sort the players, get it moving, or do we go the other way and go, we start at the top, let's get the committee sorted, going down, then the manager, then the players. Where do we sit, knowing that if we wait too long, the players that we probably want won't be there?
Well, if we wait too long to focus on who we could sign, do you think we could miss out on someone like a Reed?
Massively. Because all it takes, Jags, is the championship finishes on Saturday and three championship. So Charlton, example, they've got rid of their manager. Charlton are in the league above us now. And Reed played for Charlton, I think. And Reed, I would have thought, if Charlton were interested, I think Reed would sign for Charlton.
And that depends on the approach that you take, right? If you want to try to get back up on, back on your feet right away, you get someone like a Reed. But then obviously the board, we need to take care of that too. In my opinion, just with the way that we are right now, I think the safe way to go would be to focus on the board first if we want to stay in League Two and make it a process, you know, maybe a 4 to 5 year process in getting promoted. Well, maybe three to four years to get promoted back up to League One. But if we want to try to, you know, take a stab at someone like Reed, it could work, but then it could also, it's very volatile. We could also fall down the ladder pretty quickly if we don't take care of the board. I think it's tough. I think we go board first, but we will take the risk of missing out on someone like Reed. We do have Bowen as well. I think that's a good shout that he would want to stay. But I think we go committee first.
So my other problem as well is we've got a lot of players now out of contract. A lot of the loans have gone. Right. So a new manager's got to come in, and people said, oh, they'll watch videos of the players and stuff like that. But you ain't going to gauge what kind of player you're getting or what player you want to stay without actually speaking to them or seeing them on a training pitch. Our new manager is not going to have that. He's not going to see Woodyard on a training pitch. He's not going to have Woodyard going, you know, do you know what I mean? And talking absolute bullshit like he's done all season. Right. So he's got to come in blind and pick what players he wants to keep and what he don't without actually probably knowing any of these players. So that's why we got to be smart with, like, Stephen Reed probably will know these players. Bowen obviously knows these players. Bowen knows what he wants. Bowen knows where we're at. I just worry that.
But also, if you're a professional, Lee, and if I said to you right now, okay, you're going to go into Charlton, they've released their manager, these are the players that are available, you would be clever enough to go through all the social media, all the Facebook, read up. You will know that Dobson has been their player of the year. And that you keep him at all costs. You would know that this guy's been crap. You would know this has been good. Just like if Bowen went through and read the year of Facebook, he would know we need a captain, we need a forward, bad decisions have been made. It's not rocket science. You will get the trends, definitely.
Dan, I totally agree. But the problem with this season is the season starts earlier this year. So we've got less time.
Yeah, but
get all this done.
Mate, we're rubbish.
And sign players.
We haven't won in 28. If the whole lot went, it doesn't matter. Anyone who's in contract, you keep them. Everyone else, if you're not sure, you start again. You get the money and you get your own players in.
Cool. Right. Should we move? We'll move on. And then when we come back, we'll discuss the players, the ones that are in and out of contract, the ones that we want, and what we need next season to maybe get.
Should I stay or should I go now?
The Wombles had a dream podcast. By the fans, for the fans.
So we're back and we're going to be discussing what players are out of contract, what players we want to stay, want to go, which ones we need to stay, which ones we need to go, and just our players at the end of the season. So for me, I'd get rid of all of them. If I, I don't care about any of them. I literally don't care. Well, what I miss about the old Wimbledon days is I used to have heroes and stuff. And this season's probably the only one where I looked at our team. Rudy, I hope he leaves because he deserves it. I hope he goes and gets a good championship move and we get some decent money for him. Asau, I don't... If he left and we got money for him, I wouldn't be heartbroken. I'm not... I love Asau, I really do, but just fed up. I'm just fed up with all the players. There's no... I can't stand any of them. We've got the worst captain in possible Wimbledon's history in Alex Woodyard, and everyone loves him, or half people love him, half people hate him. Again, everyone's saying how good he'd be at League Two level. He ain't that good. Apparently, he's going to get a new year anyway because no one at the club knew that if he played a certain amount of games, he would automatically get an extension. So he's got a one-year extension. So I think if another club wants him now, they have to kind of buy him, or we have to release him from his contract, which could get a bit messy. But yeah, Ben Hennigan, he's out of contract, I believe. I'd get rid of. Awful centre-back. Who else is on? Zach Robinson's leaving. He apparently told his kit sponsor that to get a new kit sponsor because he's going to be off as well. I don't know if that's just his agent talking again.
Should we quickly go through positions?
Go on in.
Go on, Jake.
You say something quickly.
First of all, I would like to talk about that comment he made about Hennigan. Yeah, he's in and out. He's been, you know, inconsistent throughout the season, but I'd say he's actually been vastly improved since last season. I think he would be decent in League Two if we keep him, but I don't think we should go all out to try to get him, you know, try to up his contract too much because that would kind of take a hit on our budget a little bit. But I actually personally would like to see Hennigan return. That's me, though.
Do you think League One team would get him, would want him?
I think so. And I think personally Hennigan would want to stay in League One. I don't think he'd want to go to League Two, but I think if we can up his contract a tiny bit, maybe, but I don't think I would pay too much for him.
You also got to remember this is a centre back who was meant to be going to the Championship, didn't get his move to the Championship, then come to us and has now been relegated from League One to League Two.
Right.
I think he's all bravado. I think he's all people think he's good and he's absolutely awful. He's probably on quite a good, like it's that bad now that Dan Socker's our best centre back. And that geezer's been getting absolute pieces and stick from all of us, right? And I absolutely love the geezer now for what he's done, for how he's
I didn't get the stick for Chaka either, personally.
Oh, I gave him loads of stick.
Keepers. Zanev's obviously the main one. Jaggy, Zanev, Bow in or Rob out?
It's tough because Zanev, you know, he improved in the beginning of the season, then he kind of just fell out. Like, I don't know, just mentality or what. It's one of those things where I'd keep him personally, but I would also try to find another keeper that could try to contend with him, like have a keeper around his same level, and they could try to fight for a starting spot.
It depends on how good this Broom is. If Broom's as good as people are saying he is, then he comes in and Zanev becomes number two. If Zanev doesn't want to be a number two keeper because he has aspirations of playing New Zealand again, then I'd say, yep, see you later, because he's been awful for the last, 10, 15 games.
And but maybe Broom could be that guy that could contend with Zanev for that first spot.
I totally agree. But we don't know how good Broom is because no one's played him and he could be total rubbish as well. But I doubt he is because some of the noises we're hearing from people that he's decent. But if we could get a better goalkeeper, then I'd take a better goalkeeper over Zanev all day long.
When we play like preseason games and whatnot, when does the transfer window end? Does it end after the preseason games end or mid preseason?
It's usually it always ends
at the end of August.
End of August. Okay, I would start Broom. I would play Broom in the preseason game, see how he does.
Either the end of August or the start of the season, one of the two. Normally,
you can start the season now. I think they changed it.
Up to the start of the season.
Okay.
And then at the start of the season, that's when you're basically you've got what you've got. Personally, I think there should also be manager windows, by the way. I'm just chucking it out there. I don't think I think your managers as well, you pick a manager, you're stuck with him until December, and then you can start the merry-go-round. But that's me. So keepers. Where I personally feel like we should, of all of the positions on the pitch, I think, although I'm not overly wonderful with Zanev, I think our money should go elsewhere. So I would keep the goalies. Centre-backs, we know, obviously, Callum Bailly signed a gig. Nightingale has signed a free.
What an awful deal that is, man. I love Will. Don't get me wrong, right? This is not a dig at Will. I love the guy. He's Wimbledon through and through and everything he's done. Unfortunately, he's not that good anymore. And to give him a 3.5-year deal is absolutely madness. Whoever signed that off should be sacked. He should have got maybe a 1-year deal with maybe a little pay rise, but a 3.5-year deal is criminal.
But I do think he'll be all right in League Two. I'm not saying he's brilliant. I think he'll be all right in League Two.
Agree. A lot of balls are on the top, though.
And Xhaka, with another guy coming in somewhere, I think that's not a bad 4 to play.
A lot of balls over the top, though, in League Two, I would expect. And Hennigan, that's one of his weaknesses, is sometimes balls over the top, he tends to come out a little bit at first, and he's like, oh, crap, that's the wrong move. I come back. He tends to hesitate a little bit. That's something I worry about with Nightingale. I'd have to agree in that respect. I think 3.5 years, maybe a little too much. I love him to death, though. One of our own, but it's a bit of a concern, yeah.
I also think that he's very physical, and League Two might suit him better than League One, but I agree with what you're saying. If they're playing balls over the top, he just gets done for pace and he's out of position quite a lot.
Where do we sit with the fullbacks then? So you've got Guinness, Walker, Osu. We've got Brown. Gone. We've got Shay Alexander.
Gone.
All four gone.
I'd get rid of Shay Alexander. Unfortunately, he's not been good enough. He came with promise. He hasn't done it. Nesta, Guinness, Walker, I'd get rid of as well. I just don't think he's good enough. I think he'll struggle in League Two. His dad's an absolute legend. Loved Mr. Guinness Walker, but unfortunately for me, Nesta's not good enough. Lee Brown, what an absolute fraud that man has been since he's signed for us. He came as this, he said bollocks once in an interview, and he's meant to be this hard nut. He's been an absolute joke for me. I'd rip up his contract now and get rid of him. Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Jaggy?
You know what? I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm on the same end, actually. You know, all four of them. Well, Nesta Guinness. Okay. I think the best candidate, I love Osu, and he's improved throughout the season, defensively speaking, but then he kind of fell out again. I think that starting with the game against Doncaster, he was caught out of position quite a bit. And then next couple games, he kind of started to fall out a little bit too. And then he got dropped. Nesta, I feel like we underutilized him a little bit since the Lee Brown transfer. Obviously, Lee Brown is an experienced player, so we kind of put him over Nesta in the totem pole. But I think Nesta kind of got hard done by a little bit. That Sunderland game, he played fantastic, at least on the attacking end. But after that, how many games did he start? Like what, two? Really?
I mean, Nesta's always been good going forward, isn't he? He's always been quite good. Yeah. I think the thing that annoys me
as a fullback would be great.
Well, I think he's got the potential, particularly a wingback. I think getting forward, I think he's got an engine on him. I feel that he should be a better player than what he actually is. But I would actually keep. I think Brown. I'm not sure whether I'd want him to stay or not, but I think he will stay. And I would keep Osu as a backup cheap option.
I think we need to keep either Osu or Nesta if we have Bowen as our manager, because obviously, you know, he likes to play that three in the back and our wing backs. I think Nesta or Osu stays, everyone else goes.
But you've got to look at cheap options as well, Lee. It's not about...
No, I get it.
He's cheap. They're going to cheap his chips.
I get that. And I think Lee Brown stays because I think he's going to be under contract as well. So I think, unfortunately, we're stuck with Lee Brown. I've been very, very disappointed with Lee Brown. I was well expecting decent things from him, and he's just not been good enough. I get your meaning about Osu. Osu's going to be a very cheap option. But I would be looking at two new fullbacks in the summer to come in and competition definitely for them all. And I just don't think, unfortunately, they're good enough. But I get your point about being cheap options. We can't get in a whole new squad because it's going to cost us a fortune. So hopefully some of these youngsters can come in as well. Bilal Hussein, people like that who were pushing last season. But yeah, we need two new fullbacks in my point of view.
On to centre midfielders then. So Woodyard, we're ambivalent on. I mean, I quite like him and I'd be happy to have him. But I do.
What does he do? What does he do? I don't. This is what I ask. What does he do? I don't get what he does.
I'll be honest. Up until probably February, I thought he was probably our player of the year. I thought he was great. He'd go around, put tackles in, running around. But since then, I've not been overly impressed. I think we've lost a bit of oomph with him.
Two players I'd keep out of our midfield: George Marsh and Luke McCormick.
Not Chislett.
No, unfortunately, Chislett came in and he was playing he played really well, and we said, blimey hell, what a player he's become. But League Two is a totally different beast. And also, Bowen didn't fancy him either. Robbo won't fancy him. And he wasn't starting loads of games under Bowen either, even though he was coming on doing well. Again, I think your cheap option might be he might stay because he's a cheap option, and he did improve. But can we get better? And is Alfie Bendall and people like that coming through going to be a better option than Chislett? That's what I'd be looking at. Sorry, Jay, go ahead, mate.
Yeah, I think throughout the season, especially the middle of the season, we kind of had an over saturation of center mids and not too many strikers, obviously. So we do need to get rid of a few. I think Rodoni we sell, right? We need to, you know, he's a championship quality player, and we can get some good dollar for him, or a good pound for him, per se.
Euro, available.
Yeah.
Crypto. We'll take crypto.
I agree with Lee that we should keep Marsh. I think, you know, he's one of our most, if not our most consistent players that we've seen this season. McCormick, I think we keep. I think he's going to be absolute quality. I think he'll be probably our top goal scorer unless we sign a really good striker. I want a Sal personally. I really love the kid, but I just think he's feisty. I think he would, you know, in League Two where the players aren't as good on the ball, especially the center backs, they're very susceptible to giving the ball away. I think we need to keep someone like a Sal.
I totally agree with that. I think I love a Sal, but if we got good money for a Sal, then I think we have to cash in because, you know what I mean, if we're looking at $500,000 above, then I think we have to. McCormick, I have been disappointed with McCormick this season. I expected more from him, expect more goals, more assists. I'm hoping that League Two will step up and he'll be a better player in League Two because he has come from good pedigree at Chelsea. One player none of us have mentioned there, and I'm guessing it's because we think he's off and we don't mind he's going, is Anthony Hartigan.
Happy for him to go. I think
Time's up now, isn't it?
It's great that he's a Wimbledon through and through. We were sold the interview with Robbo about him being this attacking midfielder, and we got good set pieces and basically got a quarterback, which is absolutely fine. I don't think League Two would be something that suits him. If he got himself a League One club, then he's got a good agent, I think, and he's done well. He is a luxury player that I don't think we can afford. And unfortunately, it would be thanks, but all the best, in my opinion.
Totally agree. Striker-wise...
Can we just say the worst signing of this year is Tamás Kalinauskas, where his name is. Can we have that one as our worst?
Oh, Tomas, the Barnsley kid.
He can't be... The fact that I saw him for approximately 20 minutes, and that's it, and that no one's even mentioned his name ever again.
I think people won't mention him as the worst signing because... I don't think he ever, he didn't play. So people just forgot that he was here. I think he was just brought in as a ball boy. So. But look at Terry Oblade. Look at how many games did he play? How many minutes did he play? Everyone was excited. This kid was coming in. We got the wrong Fulham loanee. We should have got the one that went to, who is it? Went to Sky.
Fabio Carvalho.
Fulham had a good player who went.
No, we'd never get a Carvalho.
No. Sorry.
Fulham right back was good. Bolton right back. He was very good.
Yes, that's the one. Bolton
right back. In terms of up front, like I said, I think
three new strikers, isn't it?
Zach Robinson, if you're saying I would have kept him, but if he's not around, then I presume Derek will without me, thank you very much. Never really got involved, didn't see much of him. The fact that all these players we bought in, the new manager basically looked at him and went, no, you're all right. I think we need a real quality target / where's our goals coming from? It's you, striker.
We need three new strikers next season. If Zach's off as well, I'd love to keep Zach. But we need three new strikers and hopefully one from the youth that will, what's his name? The big geezer, what's his name?
Wayne Bartley.
Bartley, yeah, maybe can break in and be the fourth striker. But we need three new strikers. Can I also say, with regards to Sam Cosgrove, he is what I hate about modern football. Absolute hate it. Someone who has done okay for one season at Aberdeen, got a big move to Birmingham for 25 grand a week and just does not give a shit. Does not care. And I don't, these people say, oh yeah, the players care and all that. He literally did not give a shit. You could tell. That pass back was ridiculous. He was probably one of the worst footballers I've ever seen. And he is, what, on 25 grand a week?
Well,
absolutely stealing living. Mate, well, we ain't going to be far off it at Birmingham. Then, no, do you know what I mean? So,
he can't be on 25 grand.
What do you reckon? Even if he's on 10 grand, he'll be on about 10 grand a week at least, Dan. He's only on more than that, and he's. He's literally living in. He's living in Mayfair, going out to flash meals, and he literally does not care about football. Cracks me up. That's what I hate about modern football, and that's what I hate about footballers. Anyway, go on, Jaggy.
How much is enough, chaps, for a Sal? How much is enough?
600k.
And Rodoni?
Million.
1.5 for the two of them?
Yeah, agreed.
Mm. With sell-ons?
Yeah, percentage and stuff. I think if we can, if Cosgrove can go for £2 million, then Rodoni can go for £1 million.
But the thing with Vassal, guys, 10 goals this year, Rodoni 11. I mean, Rodoni, for me, as Jaggy said, is definitely the championship quality. I just feel with Vassal that he either stays and has to, his job would be to rip it up and have 1 year and that's his lot, or do you cash in the money and sit and wait? Jaggy?
You know, I would actually up it a little bit for Vassal. I think the value that he brings to our club would be immense. I would go 700 and I would go 1 mil for Rodoni.
I totally agree. Right.
1.5 million. Okay.
Shall we move on, boys? Move on, and we come back. We discuss the Donnchadh board, the PLC board, and a statement that was put out by Mark Jones. There was another statement that I think the Donnchadh board have put out as well recently, and I'll go through that. So when we come back, we'll discuss that.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast by the fans for the fans.
Right, we're going to crack on the final part of tonight's episode, and we're going to be discussing the Donnchadh board, PLC board, and a statement that was put out by Mark Jones. I just quickly want to see, I saw something that Ray Arnfield posted on Twitter, and it says the Donnchadh board is made up of different people with different skills, experience, and ideas. But one thing all board members have in common from 2002 to today is that we are fans. We love it when things are going well, and when they aren't, it hurts. We've made mistakes this season. We're sure the Donnchadh board has made mistakes every season, and both boards, the Donnchadh board and PLC, are going into the summer recognising that we have lessons to learn, which I think is brilliant. That's really good that they recognise that they've made mistakes and they're going to try and fix them. What kind of annoys me is, and we've spoken about this previously, and we'll speak again, Jaggy mentioned it earlier, fan zone's brilliant, right? People love fan zone. I don't mind it. I do think we should now be looking to sell maybe, but I don't like fans run. And I get that they're all fans, and I want people that are going to be on the ball that have the acumen, the business acumen, the football knowledge and the football acumen that they need to be running a football club. I don't think we have that. Like recently, Anne-Marie Godfrey and Pricey got put on the board. What's his name? James Price. I know both of them very well, get along very well with both of them. James Price, I believe, is going to be a very good person to have on the board. He came second in the vote. He just missed out last time in the voting. Stood, missed out, is now on the board because Xavier's dropped out. His business acumen is brilliant, and he's a really good lad. Anne-Marie Godfrey, I do apologise for this because she's a lovely girl, really nice, get along with her really well. I don't think she should be on the Donnchadh board, though, because she done the line a couple of times. She's a referee, I get it. But that's as, and she supports Wimbledon, but that's as far as her football knowledge goes. Do you know what I mean? As in running a football club knowledge. I couldn't be on the ball because I couldn't run a football club, but she didn't stand either. So I don't think she should be on the board in that respect. And again, I apologize for that because I get along well with Anne-Marie and she won't like me saying it. But and she just recently got married. So congratulations, Anne-Marie, on that. But yeah, Jonesy put out a statement, Danny, which we were talking about earlier. Jaggy, I sent it to you so you can read over it because I weren't sure. And I think he's 100% spot on with some of the questions he's now raising to the club and kind of saying to the club, look, we might as well sell and just stop worrying about everything and just be fans again and actually worry about just the football, which a lot of people do want to do. Danny, I don't know, you want your thoughts on it? He's now put himself on mute as well now.
Apologies, I was watching.
Jesus, what show am I running?
I don't have a huge amount to say on it. I don't disagree with what you're saying, though. And we've been speaking for a long time about fans running the club. I think it's important to I just hope that when we look at everything in the broader picture, we by the time we start the next season, the hangover's gone. We've got the right kind of people running the club in the right kind of way. I think what Ray said is spot on. I think it's admirable that fans are putting themselves forward to do so many jobs and putting themselves forward, but it would I don't know enough about each of the candidates. I'm just a bit surprised, though, that when Xavier left, the next person with the next amount of votes were just put in automatically. Why there were just two rogue guys all of a sudden went, you're not 5 and 6, you're nobody, right, in your pop. Unless they didn't want the job, I don't know.
Well, no, because that's Pricey was the next one in line.
Right.
He was the one. James Price was the next one. He got the most votes underneath.
Okay, cool.
But I've seen a lot of people who said now with the Donnerstrasse board, you can get up to say 300 votes and you're voted onto the board. Do you know what I mean? Which ain't a lot. It's a very low turnout regards to people voting and stuff like that. And we've said this before. And people say, oh, it's because everyone's happy with how the club's been run at the moment. So that's maybe why they're not voting. But James Price was next in line. We've now, they picked, which you can do, it is in the rules or something, that you can pick two people in a season to go onto the board that can be picked by the Donnerstrasse board. They don't have to be picked by the members. As I said, Anne-Marie's a great person. She's really nice. But I don't think she should be on the board. We've now have 10 board members, which doesn't leave us with, there could be a stalemate in voting because 5 could agree, 5 don't. And where do we go? Do we just stalemate all the way through decisions? Do you know what I mean? And as I said, Jones has asked some very, very good questions to the board regarding stuff that needs to be answered and why we failed this year. And what I don't like is it was put on pro board, so it's only Donnerstrasse members that are going to see it. I thank Lee Meadows, I forget her surname, but she put it on the actual Facebook group so everyone could see it. But not every fan's going to see it. But he asked some very, very good questions. Will we appoint a director of football overseeing all football matters at level CEO previously sat? It's like one of the mad things last year, the football committee. We had the CEO, Joe Palmer, was sitting on that football committee. So if that football committee, which was shit and was failing, who was questioning it? Because the big man was sitting on it himself. He's marking his own homework. Do you know what I mean? There's questions like that. Will the academy pathway continue as it has this season with loans to develop players? There's so much on there. We can't go through it all. It was a long old post from Jonesy. If you can, it's on the Wimbledon AFC Wimbledon fans Facebook group. Go on there and read it. It's like the other day I told you about Rob Dunsford, the SW19 team, his report regarding our arrogance this year, and that we were so arrogant that we didn't think we'd go down. And as you said earlier, Dan, we're becoming a community club, not a football club.
And that's okay, providing that everyone who goes to Wimbledon understand. And this is the problem with being a fan owned, is you've got so many people wanting to do different things. It's hard enough when you're owned by one owner and you want to win games. And it's okay to be that kind of club and to be, what we're going to do is we're going to pride ourselves on being in the community and we're not worried too much about, winning football matches. But I think I get the sense from a lot of people that, I mean, Jackie, what's more important for you? Being successful on the pitch and having a good football team, or being a leading pillar in the community?
Can I rephrase that question, Dan?
You can rephrase whatever you like.
Because you're asking it you said success on the pitch, because some people, success for me, being successful, it's about just having just the football for me is, you know what I mean? I don't care about trophies and stuff.
Okay, so having a good football team, what's more important? Having a good football team who, when you turn up, they play in the way that you can identify as positive. They win some good games. They haven't got to win the league. They might not get promoted, but they're a good football team.
Yes.
Or a team that is a club that is more focused on its work in the community, promoting Pearl Lane, promoting how we sit within that community. Where do you think we sit?
I think the latter certainly helps in gaining fans, right? And getting a worldwide outreach, but I feel like with our club, we already kind of have that. We don't have like an insane amount of fans around throughout the world, because not many people follow League One, League Two. But I think we have a good enough foundation that we can build off of it with results. I think right now results are the biggest priority.
I totally agree. And for me, it's just about having a team for me that gives 100% every week. So even if we're getting beaten by, say, a Salford next year, because Salford have got players who are better than us and they're beating us, then fine. As long as our players are giving 100%. The community stuff I kind of agree with, but I don't live in the community anymore. So I don't need to, do you know what I mean? There's a lot of our fans, like Jaggy now who lives in America. I live in Southend. There's fans who live all over the country. They're not as bothered about the community stuff because they don't see it. They're not there. And I kind of start, it has to happen. The community stuff has to happen, but I don't think that needs to be forefront of everything.
I'm all for our story, and I'm all for the family aspect of things, right? But it, success is also, half the battle when it comes to football, right? And I just think that in order to make everybody happy, we got to try to see if we can, get as much success as we can on the pitch, That's just the way I see it. Yeah.
Yeah, because look, we're talking today about relegation and winning games and football and stuff like that. We've not gone and talked about the awards that the club have won in the community and stuff, because to us, I'm not being rude, that's good for the club and it's good for the people involved, and it's good that it's on the official site and stuff and people can read it. But our main focus as fans, my main focus anyway, I don't want to say everyone's is to win football matches. And that's what I go to Wimbledon for. I go to Wimbledon to see my mates, have a good banter, take my kids, and hopefully get 3 points at the end of the day, watching a team that I can connect with and have 100%.
It is funny, though, that I was listening to one of your guys' episodes a couple months back, and Danny was like, wait a minute, you say you don't care about the football, but now you care about the results, but you don't care about the results in the sense that you just want to go to the games to see your mates and get drunk and stuff. I kind of found that part fun. But
it's hard, though, because like you said, as we get older and stuff, we go to watch the game for different reasons. And some people are going to go because it's some boys at the school I'm at, they come because it's a really fun environment. They love the fan zone. They love Hayden going around doing it. I've got no interest in Hayden. I go to watch the game. I like watching Wimbledon play, and I'm infused to go and watch them play. And I like what the story and what we do, but also I get to spend some quality time with my dad and my friends when they're there. So the football's important for the 90 minutes and I look for the result, but me next year getting promoted isn't what I'm looking for. I'm looking for us to reconnect with what we want to do on a football pitch.
I think first season, we don't try to immediately, play our hand and try to get promoted in the first season. So I guess maybe focus a little bit on the community.
I'm not having that at all, Jaggy. Okay. We go for promotion every season we play. This year, I want us to go for promotion this year. Okay. I want us to go for promotion. I want us to get a team together and go, right, every year I think we're going to win the league. That's what I want as a fan.
With our budget, we certainly can.
Don't care about budget. If we were in the Premier League now. What?
You really don't care about the budget. It's ridiculous. It's like going, right, I'm a Palace fan. I'm demanding that we win the league. It's never going
to
happen.
I bet you Palace fans you speak to will go, oh, I think we can do something this year. Do you think that season Leicester won the league, their fans were going, no,
mate,
I don't think we'll win the league?
You're talking about an anomaly again. You always do this. You always go, well, look at this one thing that happened in a blue moon. Oh,
yeah.
So, all right, well, one pig flew over the moon, or therefore pigs fly. Ridiculous.
But we're in a totally different level to Palace in the Premier League, where there's only two teams in that league. The Premier League is now a farmers' league. It's a farmers league, no matter how you look at it. It's a farmers league. There's two teams in it, and that's it, Man City and Liverpool. No one else is getting close.
We are definitely
in League Two. In League Two, there is no way we should be going first season, let's not get promoted.
No, I don't think.
Of course, we got to go for promotion.
I don't think anyone tries not to get promoted.
Right. Far from
that's
it. What,
but what you
I
do,
thought
do
I
you
heard.
Don't go,
I must have
right,
heard
if we don't get promoted, it's a failure. You're just looking to improve.
I thought Jaggy said, let's not get
promoted.
No.
I'm not saying not to get promoted. I'm just saying
it's
not
the
end of the
world. Last game of the season, we've got a penalty to get promoted. Let's
We didn't win the community award this year. I'm missing this penalty so we don't get promoted so we can 100%. Win it next year.
This circles back to the manager versus board thing. I personally think if we go for a top quality manager, we certainly have a better chance of getting promoted. But at the same time, it would be more volatile. And we'd also maybe see ourselves going down the ladder if shit hits the fan with our Don't Trust board and with our transfers and whatnot.
Can I also say that the club has done an amazing, we've been very vocal on the ground and the fan zone at the start of the season when things were going wrong. They've done an amazing, that fans are. I was out in Germany when Wimbledon were playing Accrington. I was out in Germany and I went to a team called MSV Duisburg. They get, it's 31,000 stadium, amazing stadium. They half fill it. They were being beat 6-0 after about 40 minutes, I think it was. They were getting smashed. But they had a fan zone, was amazing. They had beer on tap, the food and everything. And I looked at it and I thought, this reminds me of us. This is the kind of stuff that we've got now. Do you know what I mean? Where you can get a beer quite easy. You can get decent food. Right, we pay over the odds of it, but we are in Wimbledon. It's a bit expensive for me, but then we're paying Wimbledon prices.
I feel that the most important job, actually, for the club in the next couple of years is the person at the club who's responsible for getting the most amount of money at Plough Lane and using the private hires and the events. Because I'm not reading a huge amount of, look at these amazing things that are happening at Plough Lane. I might be wrong.
Well, we have got the event coming up, I think. Obviously, I'm away, so I'm not really... The Legends event for the charity for St. George's Hospital. You got
so
that.
We're doing an event for charity.
Yeah, yeah, but that's raising the profile Plough Lane though again, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's not Yeah, but you're just.
I know what you're saying.
The community. It's about raising money for the club. That's what you just said.
Yeah, but we have got them that event, which will raise the profile to actually hopefully get more events that will raise our money and our profile even further. That's what I'm saying, Danny. It's good that we've got them events.
Oh, it's gala dinner. It's another example of what an amazing football club we are.
This is what I'm trying to say about, let's say, well done to the club on some of the good aspects.
Yeah, they've been amazing.
Stop knocking them for everything, mate.
Oh, no, I'm thinking it's wonderful. All I'm saying is that the club, it'd be interesting to work out how the club, and if the club have got the right personnel in gear. The one thing we've all been promised with the Plough Lane bond is, okay, but when we are in a position to generate the money that we feel that we should with Plough Lane, I'm just curious as to where do we feel we're at with that? Are we in a position where we're happy with that? Are we not? We've spoken about we've got a better budget because we've got these events. Well, if that's what's happening and we're able to earn that amount of money, then brilliant.
And also another thing, we have just sold some investment, I believe, to a guy, and that's now wiped off the bridging loan. I think that's gone now, bank loan. So we it is only soft debt that we now have. It's still debt. I understand where people are coming from saying this is debt and it could fall, still could go tits up, but we have got rid of a major debt with the bank, which is huge again.
Lots of reasons off the pitch to be optimistic. Once we've got, I feel like once we've had a bit of a clear out player-wise, manager-wise, and we know exactly how we're sitting, I feel everyone's going to be in a much better position. But at the moment, the delay is the lack of comms. And I always feel like the fans always put something on Facebook and then the club go, oh, the fans don't seem happy. Well, let's put something up. Hence why the CEO put his message out today.
Yeah, no, I agree. Right, before I was going to say we should do some predictions, but then until we know what a manager is and what players we've got, there's no point predicting next year. Jaggy don't want us to go up. He's happy to...
Okay, come on. You're just twisting my words.
I don't do that.
I'm predicting we're going to get a good manager that we're all happy with to begin with, who is going to be not Stephen Reid, probably Bowen, somebody of Bowen's ilk, and I think we're going to be happy. And I think next year, we're going to enjoy the season more than we have this year, but we're not going to be in the playoffs. So I'm going to say we're going to finish 10th.
I'm on the similar boat, actually. I think we're just going to try to go across the board with our issues. We're going to focus on the board. We're not going to try to sign a top quality manager right away. I would love a Reid, but I think we'll ultimately get a manager that we'll be content with. And I think we will finish. I want to say, you know, I'm going to say 10th as well.
I think we're going to get a good manager in. He's going to shake it up a bit with his connection. I think this is why I take Bowen, because of his connections and stuff. And I think he knows what we need to get rid of and what we need to bring in. If we get Bowen, Zach Robinson might stay. Apparently, they two are quite close now, so that could work. But I think we're going to finish 3rd and get automatic promotion straight back up.
That coming from you too.
Yeah, but I always feel this way. And then literally within 10 games, I feel like the manager's got to go, all the players are bastards, and we just give up again. But yeah, but I'd just like also say thank you very much, Danny, for all your hard work this year and really helped me. So I do appreciate all the hard work and having you on most weeks. Jaggy, again, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, of course. I appreciate you guys for the hard work.
Thank you, boys. Yeah, I hope it goes well. If I don't change my mind, she's a lucky girl. Do you know what I mean? She's won the lottery getting me, so she's very lucky.
And Jaggy, next time you're at the Dons, mate, give us a shout. Me and Lee will come and I owe Lee some sort of pie.
Oh, you owe me food, yeah. Next season, you owe me food. Also, I'd like to say thanks to everyone, all the guests that have come on this year. Joe, who helps us with all of our graphics and stuff like that. I forget what they're called. And if anyone else wants to get involved, if anyone else has any ideas, any producers out there, anyone who wants to help with equipment, maybe we could start up a little Womble Dream TV, you know what I mean? Rival what the club put out.
Lock up your daughters.
We could put out some decent content. And then we could, anyone wants to get involved, then contact us. Thanks everyone who's listened, everyone who's got involved. You don't have to agree with me and Danny, but it's probably best to. And
agree with me. Yeah.
Thanks again, everyone. Thank you.
Have a good summer, everyone.
Have a good summer. Come on, you dons.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Wombles Had a Dream podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Wombles Dream and on Facebook at the Wombles Had a Dream. Get involved. By the fans, for the fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.